come on, Brother Jimmy. Appreciate Brother Jimmy. Most of the time he preaches, I guess 98% of the time I'm not here. I'm somewhere else, supposed to be somewhere else tonight. Had him scheduled, and I thought I'm just going to let him come preach and be here and hear him preach and make sure he does as good a job as y'all say he does. Amen. And I'm going to go over and sit with Jenny. She saw me up here a minute ago and she went. Amen. So I'm going right over there where I belong. All right. Get your Bibles out. Y'all glad you're here tonight.
Hey.
Amen. I hope you are. Let's get something from the Lord.
You can be taking your Bibles. Turn, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in chapter 4 is where I'd like you to be turning. Unfortunately, since he is now here, the gig is up. And I apologize, y'all. So I couldn't help myself. It's good to get to be here while he is here, though. I don't want to ever take it lightly that any pastor would let me stand behind his pulpit. Proverbs chapter number 4, if the Lord will help me this evening, I want to preach on this thought. Where are you going? Now, I'm not looking so much at the salvation aspect, though, that we could, just from that title, a lot of your minds maybe want to go there right away. You know, heaven or hell, where are you going? That's not the burden of my heart this evening. I'm going to read a couple verses, and then I'm going to backtrack for a moment and look at a couple of the previous chapters here in this book. And just pull a couple things out, and then we'll try to get into the message for this evening, if the Lord will be our help. Before I read, let me just go ahead and pray, or I will forget to, and I desperately need the Lord's help this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for an opportunity to get to stand behind a pulpit and preach your word. Lord, I'm thankful for what your word means to me, for how you've worked it in my heart, and just for what you've been doing in my heart this year. Lord, I ask that you don't stop. Lord, we need you so much this evening. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not even a great man. I'm just an awful sinner that found a great God. And Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy, for your grace, for your patience in my life. Lord, I pray that you would help me this evening to get the burden off my heart. Lord, there may be souls here this evening, saved or unsaved. And I pray that each and every person here, that you would work it in their heart and that they would do some soul searching. Lord, for those that are not where they need to be with you, I pray that you would make it clear to them. And I pray beyond that, that they would be willing to do something about it. To admit is good, but to repent is better. Lord, I pray that you would just help me this evening. I desperately need your help. I need clarity of thought. I need help as I try to preach. And Lord, I pray that you would just remind me of some of the study. That, Lord, as I try to preach, just bring to me what needs to be said. And may I say nothing that you would not want to be said. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 4, let me just begin reading at the beginning of the chapter. I'm really, my focus is going to be more towards the end of the chapter, but I want to point out a couple things in this chapter as we read through this and just make a couple quick comments. The Bible says this, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Now it doesn't take a Bible scholar or somebody with a PhD to figure out that the application here, the primary application for what he's talking about, really is the Word of God. He's going to use a word here in verse number 5 that I want to associate with the Word of God, because I believe that's exactly the intent of Proverbs here. Notice what he says. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Here's what I'm going to say, and I'll try to explain myself here in a moment. Wisdom and understanding, for the sake of really what I feel the burden is that God gave us, I want to use those as very similar. You see them repeated often in the book of Proverbs, and I want you to associate them with the Word of God. Wisdom, understanding, in all things for life, it's going to come from the Word of God. And without the Word of God, there is no wisdom. There is no understanding. And I want you to associate that and don't break that. You live your life beyond the realms of the Word of God, you're living a very foolish life, an unwise life. Wisdom comes from God. Now, I'll step back in here just a moment and explain a little bit more of that and show you a few other passages here before we get to the meat of the message. But let me keep reading for the moment. In verse 5, let me pick up there again. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Notice this next phrase. Wisdom is the principal thing. Well, if we're going to associate wisdom with the Word of God, let me just say it this way. The Word of God is the principal thing. It's the main thing. It's the first thing. Before anything else in your life, that needs to be put in first place. It's the principal thing. It's the main thing. He's saying, therefore, get wisdom. This is going to be the most important thing that you can get a hold of in life. The most important thing that will help you. I don't care what age you are, how long you've been alive, how much you know. If you don't have wisdom, you're in trouble. And so the most important thing from this point on is get wisdom. And that comes from the Word of God. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I'll read a couple of these verses later. Let me jump down to verse number 12 for the moment. We're still talking about wisdom, understand that. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. If you make it your purpose, you make it the first thing in your life to begin lining up by the Word of God, making that the first thing in your life, then what the Bible is saying here is when you go, when you start moving, if you will, for God, you can't get any straighter than that. You can't get any better than that. Following the Word of God is hands down the best life you'll ever have. Anything outside of the Word of God is just, it's going to be much worse, much more problematic, filled with sin, filled with judgment. It's not going to be pleasing to God. Now, here's what he says. Verse 10, hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Here he's taught him in the right way. He showed him in the right way. David has pointed Solomon in the way of the Lord. Or I guess this is Solomon now teaching his son. I'm going to get that all confused if I'm not careful. Solomon's giving this to his son. David, I believe, did the same thing for him, and he's pointing him in the right direction, saying, you want to be right. You want to be successful in this life. Then go the way of righteousness. Go the way of wisdom. Go in the way of God. Anything else is the wrong path. It will take you to a wrong end. It will lead to destruction. It will lead to death. It will lead to all kinds of things you don't want in your life. He says, verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. You notice there's two paths being compared here. There's the way of wisdom, and there's the way of wickedness. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You start going in the right way, God keeps on giving you more light, and let's just say you're going to get where you want to be by the time you finish this life. God will give you light as you need it. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Again, we're comparing two ways here. God's way, He'll give you light for your journey. The world's way gives you darkness. It's going to trip you up. In the end, it's going to destroy you. It's going to cause spiritual death. If you're saved, I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation, but you're going to lose your spirituality. If you're unsaved, you are on the path. And I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but you're on the path to judgment. You're on the path to hell. There's two ways, generally speaking. The good way, the wrong way. The wise way, the worldly way, or wicked way. The Bible way, any other way. Two paths. I want you to get that settled very firmly in your heart this evening. We'll come back to that in a moment. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What's he talking about? The Word of God. The Word of God will be life to those that find it, and health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now here's our text verse. This is where the thought comes from. Ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Ponder the path of thy feet. Here's my question this evening. It's going to be very simple. But I want you to ask yourself this question. I'm going to ask you a series of questions here, but all relating to this: where are you going? I want you to stop for a moment. I want you to take some time to reflect on where you've been, what you're doing right now, the decisions that you're making, and then I want you to ponder about that for a moment. And together, we're going to look at what the Bible says about where these decisions, where these steps are going to be taking you. And I hope by the end that we get done here that the Bible will have made it clear that if you're not right with God, you're heading in the wrong direction. And that if your heart is not right, you're going in the wrong direction. If you're listening to the wrong type of things, you're going in the wrong direction. If you have no goal, no purpose about your life, then you're going in the wrong direction. That's the burden on my heart tonight. Now, let me say a couple more things real quickly about this matter of wisdom. The Word of God is, I'm going to use that very, basically in the place of wisdom. I believe that's where it comes from. The Word of God must be the principal thing, the main thing, the first thing in our lives. Everything that we do, practically speaking, should be based from the Word of God. In the Proverbs, that's what it's written for. It's not written for us when we come into church. It's not written for us only to apply here in the church pew or here in ministry. But it is intended to be applied to our practical living day in and day out. There are no exceptions. And so our life is supposed to be lined up by the Word of God. And when we decide to do something different, when we decide to step outside of the guardrails of the Word of God, you're in danger. You're heading in the wrong direction. You're going to have problems. Wisdom and understanding seem to be used very interchangeably here in chapters 1 through 9. Chapters 1 through 9 is Solomon giving instruction to his son. He's giving him, in a very broad sense, a picture of wisdom. what wisdom is, what wisdom will do, and he's contrasting two different ways, trying to get his son to understand some very important things. What is wisdom? What is understanding? Let me just give a very simple definition to it. It's knowledge that's applied. I can know a lot of things when it comes to wiring up a machine, but until I put that into practice and use that knowledge to properly install a machine, wire this thing up, and then power it up, program whatever we need to do, that's when that knowledge, that's wisdom. You can have a lot of knowledge, no experience, try to put something together without wisdom, if you will, and you're going to make a lot of mistakes, cause a lot of problems, possibly damage a lot of things. Knowledge, where does that come from? Ultimately, the Word of God. But Proverbs chapter 1 gives us a very clear description of where this comes from. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The knowledge I'm talking about this evening is not the kind of knowledge that shows me how to wire up a machine. It's not the kind of knowledge that gives me some really good business acumen so where I can build a great business and get a name for myself. It's not political knowledge or historical knowledge. It's Bible knowledge. And if we don't have Bible knowledge, we're going to be at a very serious disadvantage in this life. But that knowledge, you can have a lot of Bible knowledge, but if you do not apply it, you're the fool. You are not being wise. Because until I learn to apply what the Word of God says, that is what wisdom is. The application of the knowledge of God. How do I get that? The fear of the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord? Very simply put, it's a reverential, it's reverence for God. To hold Him, to hold His Word in high regard. Now, we could spend a lot of time on what this is. Let me just put it this way. If you fear God, you will love Him, you will love His Word, and you will be afraid of going against the Word, of stepping outside the bounds. I'm not afraid of God this evening until I begin to disobey Him. And then you better be right. You better fear the chastening hand of the Lord. You better fear the judgment of God. If you're saved, you sure ought to. Because every son that he receiveth, he chasteneth. You cannot be a believer, a saved being that gets out of the will of God without the chastening hand of God coming in your life. Where do we get knowledge? Obviously, the fear of the Lord. Let me put it this way. Knowledge of the Word of God will come from a relationship with Him. And when you're not reading your Bible, you're not studying your Bible, and you're not praying and spending time with God, sure, we can read the words, but when I'm not truly spending time with God, I'm not going to have any knowledge. True knowledge, right knowledge, will come as we develop this relationship with God. And God instructs us, the Holy Spirit teaches us, and guides us into all truth. This relationship, I've already said it, it's maintained by the Word of God in prayer. And as we, let me say it this way, God gives us instruction on how to apply the truths of the Word of God through our study and through our prayer. God gave us the manual for life. When things aren't going quite right, and it's not just the trial He's put you through, when you're not using this as the roadmap, when you're not using this as the basis for what you do and the decisions that you make, understand, you're on your own. God gave us a roadmap to spare us from a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble. These are not rules that we have to abide by. They are protections that I get to have wisdom about. I get to know that way don't lead good. It's road signs of warning. Hey, there's a cliff here. Don't take this road. It leads to death. Here's what I believe we see a lot of today. Christians in general, maybe it applies to people here. A lot of you I don't know that well to say whether it does or not. I'm just preaching what God gave to me. But so often we get so busy in the things of this world, whether it be our job or things that we want, things that aren't necessarily wrong, understand, that we forget to stop and think. We forget to ponder the path of my feet. You see, a spiritual man, a wise man, will have about him something called foresight. The ability to look down the road and make a very reasonable decision based on the Word of God. If I keep on down this path, then 10, 20 years from now, whatever it is, this is where I'm going to end up. That's needed in every area of life. Most people, especially Americans, we make our decisions for the moment, never considering the consequences. And you end up in a lot of mess. You end up in debt to all kinds of things. You end up losing things if you keep that path going. Why? Because we didn't stop to consider, can my finances truly handle that? And we go and make a very foolish decision apart from the Word of God. We don't consider the counsel because the Bible has a lot to say about that. And I'm just using this as an example. The next thing you know, you've got somebody in a really bad spot because they didn't look down the road to see where it would take them. What I'm asking you to do this evening is I want you to look at your life, the decisions that you're making, what you're listening to, where your heart is, a couple other things we'll say here, what your eyes are on, and this is what I want you to ask myself. If I continue down the path I'm on now, where is it going to lead me in 10, 15, 20 years down the road? You don't have to change, but you better consider. Because some of you ought to. Ponder means to weigh or to consider the consequences of a decision. My first question that I want to ask you this evening, we find it in chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. We find it in verse number 20. We find it in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and there's a lot more. That's just what I wrote down. Here's the question. Who or what are you listening to or trusting in to guide you in life? To make your decisions? Are we listening to some politician? Are we listening to some financial advisor? Where's God in this picture? What are you listening to make the decisions you are making right now? Are you doing it just because, hey, I feel like this is the right way, and man, I'm just going to do it. I've got that sense of intuition. Or are we doing it because the Bible says, and so I do? Here's what he says, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. And when I'm talking about listening to, I'm talking about not just using my ear to hear what somebody's saying and then go do my own thing. I'm talking about I'm taking the advice, I am receiving it, and I am applying it. What are you listening to get you through life right now? What are you leaning on for the decisions that you are making? Your own sense or God's sense? Some worldly person's, worldly individual's sense or your sense? Are you using common sense? I don't have any problem with that as long as it lines up with Bible sense. There's some things we probably could reason and say, well, that makes common sense, but it's against the Word of God. I don't care how reasonable something sounds. When it doesn't line up with the Word of God, always go with God. He knows best. Here's the truth of the matter. Notice what he says in verse number 20. My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Here's what I want to ask. Are you listening to the Word of God? Are you listening to God? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit as He deals in your heart? Listen, what you listen to absolutely will affect the direction that you were going. You get listening to false doctrine for long enough, and you're going to start thinking like them. You get out around your coworkers who keep on advising you to do this or to do that and do this and do that, and they do that week in, week out, and week in, week out, just on and on and on, and eventually if you don't tune that out and tune into this, you're going to start following their advice. Maybe it's right, maybe it's not. Have you consulted the Word of God? Understand, What you allow to influence you, what you begin to listen to, it absolutely will influence the decisions that you make. And so many of us, guess what we do? Maybe unintentionally, but we begin to crowd out this book and listen to everything else. And believe it, believe me, it's noisy out there. There's all kinds of people trying to tell you, this is what you should do. This is the way. This is truth. Does it line up? What you listen to will change the direction that you're going. What are you listening to this evening for life? Secondly, where's your heart? Here's what he says, verse 21. Speaking of the word of God and these commandments, we'll put it that way, his words, let them not... Got 2 points switched up here. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What's to be center of our heart? Center of our lives? I believe it's to be the Word of God. Understand what you set your heart on, your affections on, is the direction that you're going. You get your heart set on the things of this world, that's where you're headed. You get your heart set on money, that's where you're headed. You get your heart set on God, that's where you're headed. You get your heart set on the Word of God, you get the picture. Where I decide to let my heart set its affections on, that's what I desire. That's what I want. It will control the direction that you're going. There's a reason Colossians chapter 3 tells us to set our affection on things above. There's a reason in verse 23 he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here's why. Because this world and everything in it is attacking your heart. And your heart will be shifted, will be moved and set on something else unless you are intentional about keeping the Word of God central in your life. Going in the right direction will not happen on accident. You ever tried to do accidental driving somewhere? You're not getting anywhere that you want to go if you're just going to let this car just go on its direction and you don't make it go in the right direction. You let go of that wheel, see how long you keep heading in the right direction. I don't care how good you've got that thing tuned in. You will go off that road somewhere. Well, there's a lot of folks that are not very intentional about what they're putting their hearts on. And so here's what's essentially happened, spiritually speaking. They've taken their hands off the wheel, and they're going to end up in a mess because they're not going anyplace important. You'll end up in the ditch, in the lake, in the river, wherever. I don't care. The point is you're not going to be on the right road. You're going to end up in a wreck. You've got to keep God's word as the focus of your heart. We have lost our love for the Word of God. That's why we don't read it every day. That's why we don't spend time in it like we ought to. I'm guilty. I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to anybody else tonight. Where's your heart? Because what your heart is set on is the direction that you're going. Thirdly, what are your eyes on? Very similar to where your heart's at, but what are your eyes on? Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. What you begin, Lamentations says that mine eye affecteth my heart. What you set your eyes on will eventually be what has your heart. You set your eyes on God and the will of God for your life and make that the primary focus. You set your eyes on the Word of God. Can I tell you what's going to have your heart? Maybe not right away, but I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. Your heart's going to be in the things of God. But when we get to looking around, wow, I'd like that. Wow, I want that. Man, that looks pretty interesting over there. Next thing you know, our heart begins to get moved out of the way. And all of a sudden, we're heading in the wrong direction. I gave this example the other day. Tori can attest to this. I found this out by experience. I don't recommend any of you try it. But do you know that when you drive, you have a natural tendency to drift in the direction your eyes are looking? I scared my wife once or twice doing that. Man, look at that deer over there. Next thing you know, you're drifting over. There have been times I just wanted to see. I'm going to look just slightly this way. I still had a little bit of peripheral going on. But just curious. Knowing I'm looking over here, but knowing I need to go straight, can I even keep myself going straight when I'm not looking that way? It's impossible. You set your eye just even barely off, and you will naturally begin to turn this way. Every time. Some of you might know who John Getch is. There's a story he tells in a book that he wrote. When he was young, his dad was a farmer. And his dad was teaching him how to get on a tractor and how to plow a straight row. Here's what his dad, and I'm remembering best I can, but here's what his dad told him. Basically, if we're going to have a straight row, this is what I want you to do. You pick a point out on the other end of the field. And you begin to drive. But don't you dare take your eyes off that mark on the other end of the field. He said that a bird may come flying by. And you're going to be tempted to look at it. Don't. Keep your eyes into that field. The neighbor might pass and wave at you and try to get your attention. Do not take your eyes off that mark. If I remember correctly, paraphrasing the best I can. He said the bird did fly by. The neighbor did come and try to wave and get his attention because it's the first time he's on a tractor. He said, but I kept my eye on that spot and I wasn't about to move. And by the time he got to the other end, guess what? He had a straight furrow. You can do the same thing when you're mowing. I've done that. Here's my point. If we as Christians truly want to be successful for God, there's only one way you're going to be able to plow a straight line. Get your eyes on God and don't you dare take them off. Make that the goal and don't you dare look away, because the moment you look away, you're going to drift in the direction you looked away. And now you've gotten off the path that God had for you. Now you've gotten off track, out of the will of God. And sure, one step into it, it's kind of easy to correct. It'll still be noticeable, but I can kind of correct it. There's people that don't take time to ever stop and consider how good they're doing. And they get years down the road, and guess what? They were supposed to be over here, and they're way over here. You may never get back to where you really should have been. What are your eyes on today, tonight? Is our focus on God or is it on something else? I'm asking you what direction you're going. Because where your eyes are, that's the direction that you're going. Maybe you got your eyes out in the world. Maybe you got your eyes on something that the Word of God forbids. You're heading in the wrong direction. Fourthly, what is your goal? Every successful person in this world, whether it's by the world standards or God's standards, I promise you, every one of them had a goal, had a purpose. These big business guys you see that made it to the top, they didn't get there by accident. And every one of them write books and they'll tell you about it. It wasn't an accident that some of these guys become Navy SEALs. No, they were heading in that direction. They prepared a long time for that. And they'll tell you that. Some of us, spiritually speaking, don't have a single goal in our life. It's been said multiple ways by multiple different authors, but if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And some of us, spiritually speaking, guess what? We're aiming at nothing. So we're not going to achieve anything. We're not going to make the mark that God had for us. You've got no purpose, you're heading in the wrong direction. Listen, being in the will of God for your life will not happen on accident. Warren Wiersbe said it this way, and it hit me pretty hard when I read it. But he said this, the will of God isn't for the curious. It's for the serious. You want to be in the will of God. You want to plow your line straight. You want to make a difference for God in this world. You want to make the mark that God has for you in this life. Then you better get your eyes on God. Set the goal as pleasing Him, as fulfilling the will of God. And don't take your eyes off of it, or you'll miss the mark. Some of us better get serious with God. Every chance, every second that we waste, we're getting farther and farther and farther off the will of God for our life. And you keep on going that way long enough, you'll never get to where God wanted you to be. I was sharing a little bit of this with a preacher at my house the other day. I was reading a book. It's a secular book, but the guy's got a lot of good things to say. He's talking about habits. And he makes a statement and gives some mathematical stuff behind it. And basically he's talking about building habits. He said you choose to do something small, seems insignificant, but you just keep on doing that. And so, let me do this in direction for y'all. It makes a little more sense. So you start down here and you just keep on staying consistent and doing that thing. And eventually, you begin to get better and better and better at this thing. And what he said is it causes what's called compound interest, just like a bank account. You know, if you're investing, let's say, in mutual funds and it doubles every 7 years, you got $1, you get two. You got $350,000 in there, you're going to get $700. It made a lot of difference. That's called compound interest. And here's what I began to realize. Every bit of time that God gives me is a second of time that I get to invest for God. And the more that I invest for God, the more that begins to compound, the more that begins to change my life, the more of a difference I begin to make. But every second that I waste, it has the opposite action. And it actually begins to take away and ruin. And I begin to consider on the past year and some things that I know I failed at. So reading my Bible, I didn't do very well on. Praying, I feel like I know I did awful on. I wasn't what I should have been. And I begin to consider, my, how much potential did I lose? How much gain did I lose? All because I was not focused on the goal. And I was not consistent to doing what I knew to do. You see, we think some of these decisions don't matter that much. But the problem is it's never one decision. It's always a series of decisions. It's always a series of turns. And that first one, oh, it's just one little bit. Oh, yeah, the road, it'll be barely crooked. It's all right. And then something else, ooh, what's this? And next thing you know, you're so far off the beaten path you couldn't get back if you wanted to. I'm not saying you have to have your life figured out. I'm not saying you need to know the specific will of God for your life right now. What I am saying is you had better be on the right path and your goal to please God. And that's exactly what Solomon is trying to counsel his son to do in this passage. The way of the wicked leads to destruction. It leads to death. It's the way of the fool. And then you've got God's way. Ponder the path of thy feet. I'm almost finished. And let all thy ways be established. That word established, it basically means to settle or fix permanently. If you're on the wrong road, you better not be establishing yourself there. Here's the point of what he's trying to say. Which path are you choosing? Get on God's and establish it and settle it. Mark it has the goal and do not change. My question for us this evening is very, very simple. And I pray that you'll be honest with God. But what path are you on this evening? The decisions that you have been making, understand, you keep on making those decisions, that is where you're going to end up. You keep on living in disobedience to the Word of God, you will live a life of pain, misery, judgment from God, destruction. Oh, you might be successful in worldly terms, but there is a reckoning day coming. What direction are you headed? Where are you going with your life? Have you made up your mind already? Have you just decided you're going to go the way of the world? Is that what you want? I hope you'll change your mind and go God's way. I can't do that for you, but I sure can warn you. And some of you need to ponder the path of your feet. Some of you need to stop for a second. You know, I'm going to say this. I hope I'm not meddling too much at all. I want to be very obedient. Sometimes the things we do, others don't notice. And I can be making wrong steps in my life, in my home, and preacher will never notice it. I might, but he won't. But a lot of times that's not the case. A lot of times we're making decisions and everybody but us sees where it's taking you. And you can think that you're hiding sin. You can think that, well, I know enough about the Word of God that this little thing is not going to affect me. You're fooling yourself. Came here this evening. This is what God gave me to preach. What direction are you going? Where are you headed? All I ask is that you do business with God if He's spoken to you. Don't wait. You'll walk out these doors and you'll forget. Every time it happens every time. If God's dealt with you, I challenge you. I don't know. I guess I'll let you close out. If that's what you want, you do whatever you need. I don't know if y'all's manner is typically to have altar call or not. But what I'm saying is if God's dealt with your heart and you delay, you're rebelling. You're telling God no right now. And you've just made another decision to keep going in the wrong direction.